Welcome to Bible Talk with Andrew and Jimmy. I'm Jimmy Holland.
And I'm Andrew.
And we are so grateful that you are joining us for another episode. Where we look at Bible questions and we find Bible answers, because what God says is the only thing that matters.
It's truth. So we'll continue in our series that we're doing on why am I a Christian, or why am I still a Christian. And thank you so much for your feedback on the last episode on hypocrisy.
Yeah, I think that was something that struck a chord with a lot of people. You know, and I think one of the comments that I got quite a bit was, especially when it came to the definition of hypocrisy, it seems that that was something that really connected with a lot of people, and I think we, for that reason we talked about, sometimes we have a moment of weakness where I'm just such a hypocrite. Well, no, I had a bad moment. I sinned. Yeah. I'm gonna correct it, repent, confess it, move forward, you know, learn from it, type of thing.
Yeah, and we're imperfect people. And you know, we have times of weaknesses, but yeah, I got the same feedback. So, but to continue today, why am I still a Christian? We're going to talk about growing spiritually, staying faithful, those kinds of things, and we'll hit on some different subjects, I think, on that. But the question that comes for me is, if I'm not faithful, if I'm not loving, if I'm not coming to worship, all of those things, then why am I still a Christian?
Well, and I think we need to understand what we mean by faithful. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if I open my Bible to Matthew chapter 23, that's a chapter where Jesus is dealing with an entire chapter of hypocrisy. In fact, it over and over again, he says, "The scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites." Like, that's what he's talking about. And if you look at verse 23, he says that there are weightier matters. And he says, justice, mercy, faithfulness. Mm-hmm. And that idea of faithfulness, what is he talking about? Like, faithful in what? Faithful to what? Is he talking about faithfulness in like three or four different areas? Mm-hmm. Or, as we talked about last night in hypocrisy, is he talking about faithfulness in all manner of living? And, you know, 1 Peter 1:15-16, be holy as the one who called you is holy in all manner of living. That's what it means, is that I'm striving to be holy. I'm striving to be who God wants me to be in every area of my life, not just part of my life.
Well, how do I get there? And, you know, Jesus came to do one thing, and it's heart change.
It is.
When you become a Christian, there has to be a heart change. And 6 months ago, we started a series in the book of James, and we looked at James, who is the brother of Jesus, and there was a heart change about him, because you look in Mark chapter 3, specifically in verse 21, his family says that Jesus is out of his mind. And you turn over to John 7, and they're making fun of him again. And so what happens when Jesus dies on the cross, and you go through the book of Acts, and you keep going through the books, and look, there's the book of James. So what happened from making fun of his brother to James writing a book? Well, same thing Jesus does with every one of us. He changes us. And Josephus will write in his history books, he'll write that James fell off the pinnacle of the temple, and the people started beating him, and he was praying for those same people that were beating him to death. Well, it sounds like he learned a lot from Jesus.
You know, and you look at, you know, what Josephus wrote about him being thrown off the pinnacle for his refusal to, you know, repent or give up Christ, to forsake Christ, and somebody that went from an unbeliever to being referred to as the camel-kneed man, you know, because of how much time he spent in prayer. And you know, you look at the book of James, and the, you know, it's referred to as the most practical book of all, of all, you know, the New Testament books. And what was it though that changed him? Like, there was a moment, and it was the resurrection.
It had, like, to be the resurrection.
What was it that proved to James beyond all shadow of a doubt that his half-brother was not out of his mind? That his half-brother was, in fact, the Christ, the Messiah? And it was the resurrection. Like it showed beyond all shadow of a doubt. There was, and so from that moment forward, James was a different, there was change. There was real change there. And to take it a step further, you look at Saul on the road to Damascus in Acts 9. He comes face to face with Jesus. He's convinced of Jesus' identity following the resurrection. And there's a but now moment in Peter, mm-hmm. or Paul's life, or Saul at the time.
Yeah, and I totally forgot about the camel knees. Like, yeah. James had the nickname Camel Knees because he would... Camel Knee Man, because he would pray so much on his knees. He had calluses that formed on his knees. That's awesome. But it's the same for us. You know, if we have a belief in Christianity, it's the resurrection. You know, the cross, sure. Death, sure. But the resurrection proved beyond shadow of a doubt that it's true. And we have a hope because Jesus resurrected.
Well, and of all things, it the resurrection confirms the identity of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, it was, you know, his birth did, virgin birth, but it was the resurrection that answered so many questions and doubters, and it changed so many lives. And I think that's why in 1 Corinthians 15, when you have Paul talking about the resurrection and the reality of the resurrection, like, he mentions witnesses. He said some of them have fallen asleep. There's a lot of them that are still alive. Go and ask. And because the resurrection was such a monumental moment, it changed history from that moment forward. And we talk about last week hypocrisy, and we talk about, why am I still a Christian? And the reason is, why am I a Christian? Because I'm not the same person after meeting Jesus than I was before coming face to face with Jesus. Yeah. And when I hear the gospel, that's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming face to face with the reality of my sin, but I'm also coming face to face with Christ and with God as a whole in reality. And I'm having to face reality. And if I truly understand that, I'm going to be a changed person. Like, it's gonna change me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in a couple episodes, we refer back to our wives, and I want to get into the subject of, why do we do these things? Well, it's because we love God. Well, the same thing with Alyssa. The more, you know, I love her, the more I'll get to know her, the more I want that relationship with her, and it keeps on going. Well, the same thing with God is, the more I read His Word, the more I'll try to get to know Him as my Father. Why? Because I love Him.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at 1 John 4, but really Matthew 22:37 says, love God with all your heart.
Yeah.
Why? Because if I do, I'm going to follow those steps that He asked me to do.
Yeah.
When I become a Christian, my perspective changes to, what can I do to be a servant? You know, Jesus practiced what He preached. You see the disciples arguing who's the greatest. And then we see Jesus get down and wash their feet. He says, you want to be up? It's down. You want to be a servant? You have to get down on your knees and be a servant.
And again, why that moment, though? You know, he tells them, like, this is how you need to live. Like, this, imagine, they, all 12 of them, even Judas,
mm-hmm.
even Judas in that moment, like, they all recognize and are convinced that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, they have a skewed view of the Messiah, but they believe it's the Messiah. And the Messiah gets down on His knees and He washes their nasty feet,
yeah.
their dirty feet. And then He says, this is how I want you to live. Like, go and live this way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with the Good Samaritan. Go and do likewise type of thing. And the reality, and the point is, a change. Yep. Like, I'm not the same person that I used to be. I have a different outlook. I have a different perspective. I have a different motivation. I'm not, you know, we talked about this in our Bible class in the auditorium this morning from Romans chapter 8, that, you know, I'm no longer motivated by fear. Paul said that you know, we've not been adopted to fall back into fear. Not that I'm never afraid. It's just that fear doesn't control me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, why? Because I'm not the same person. You know, the more my love for God grows, the more I want to do what's right. And mm-hmm. the more it bothers me when I don't.
Yep.
And if I'm not feeling that godly sorrow, then it's because I don't really, you know, I don't really love God the way that I think I do.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and I know I'm talking a lot, but let me ask you this question. You're talking about Alyssa. Does it matter why you do things for Alyssa? Like, does it matter to her why you take the trash out. Does it matter to her why maybe you take her out on a date or you get her a card or maybe a flowers? Does the why matter to her?
Is that a trick question? Or
no. Well, what I mean by this is you're talking about love. And so our motivation for serving God is not to be fear, it's to be loved.
Yeah.
It's to be loved.
It's to show my love.
Yeah, and that's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I behaved as a child, I spoke as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, children obey out of fear. But the more you grow up, it's love, it's appreciation. And it's the same thing with God. If I'm obeying God because I'm afraid of him and I think he's waiting to crush me, then eventually that fear is going to turn to resentment and I'm going to be bitter towards God and I'm not going to be a change. Like, I'm not going to be doing the right things for the right reasons. I may do the right things, but it's for selfish reasons or whatever. But the point being, motivation matters. I know if I looked at Lori and Lori says, we've not spent a lot of time together, can we go on a date? And I tell Lori, listen, we're only going on this date because you want to, not because, like, it's not what she's asking.
No.
I can't say, well, I'm taking you on a date. Like, she wants me to do it because I love her and because I want. And we understand that.
Yep. Well, that's what God wants. God wants a radical heart change.
Absolutely.
And so when we talk about radical heart change, let's talk about some specifics in our day and time. You know, this morning with our teens in class, we talked about some specifics on how to be a light. And it was as small as when you walk into Walmart, get that buggy from that person and walk it in with you. It's grabbing the water bottles for the woman who needs help to put it in her cart and maybe even loading the turkey, you know, in her car as she's walking out. There's so many things. And when I mean perspective, your perspective changes. I mean, you're constantly looking to see how I can help. How can I be compassionate? How can I be a servant? And I feel like on the surface, we think that means we're giving out money to the homeless people. That's what it means. But it's not always that, because we all can't do that. Let's be honest. I mean, times have been difficult and things of that nature. But here's what we can do. Help with the water. Help with, you know, people who need help in a grocery store. Talk to the cashier. Ask her how her day is doing or how his day is doing. You know, there's so many things that if you think about it, you can do and show that I'm different.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, it does. And the reality is, though, it's easy to open a door.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to load water into somebody's car. Anybody can do that.
Yep.
Anybody can do that, whether they're a believer or not. And so there has to be those are all good things, and I agree, those are things that we need to be doing. Like, we need to be serving people. You know, those are very small acts of kindness that can go a long way. But I think of Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 1, Paul is talking about being a part of the body of Christ. And in especially verse 4 and 5, we have the seven ones. There's one faith, there's one body, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
But because we're part of that one body, if you keep reading, it's Paul letting this audience know, mainly a Gentile audience, that their salvation was not an afterthought. It was something that was planned just as everybody else's, so they're not less than in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about how they're a part of the body, but because of that, it has to make a difference in their lives. And he tells them, beginning in verse 17, you can't walk the way the Gentiles walk. You can't live the same life that you used to.
Yeah.
And then I want you to notice verse 25, just real quick. Notice what he says about what a changed life looks like. He says, I put off falsehood and I speak truthfully to my neighbor. He says, I'm angry and I do not sin. I don't let the sun go down on my wrath. I don't hold grudges. He talks about, I don't steal any longer. Let the thief steal no longer, but let him labor in doing honest work with his hands so that he have something to give. He talks about the way we talk and not tearing people down, but instead building them up. He talks about not, you know, putting away bitterness. And then he says, be kind one to another, forgiving one another. Like, you want to talk about a changed life. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. We can all do these things.
Yeah.
All of it. And think about how much different. And we talk about, like, being a light. Like, if I'm an honest person, people are going to pick up on that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, hey, that, you know, you can trust that person.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Good point. So if we talk about growing spiritually and being faithful, what does that look like? This morning in your sermon, you talked about Psalm 119.
Yeah.
And it's, well, looking at God's word and reading it and putting it into context and perspective.
Yeah.
What do you think Psalm 119 is telling us about being faithful?
It's telling us that we're not going to be faithful if we're not being guided and led by God's word. We're just not. And look at
lamp to our feet.
Yeah, it's that 105. Yeah. It's a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway. You know, you look at verse 11 though. I've hid your words in my heart that I might not sin against you. Like, that's this whole idea of faithfulness is, it's I'm never going to be faithful if I don't know what God expects of me. And what he does in his word is he shows us, he gives us the expectation, but he also gives us the how. Like, mm-hmm. this is how you put this into practice.
Yep. Well, you know, this morning you talked about the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4,
yeah.
Specifically in verse 24. And I heard this. My cousin Blake watches our podcast, yeah. and he sent me a text. And he said, sometimes we're so focused on the in-truth part that we forget about the in-spirit part.
Yeah.
And we were talking about worship there.
Yeah.
You know, and you talked about how when we worship, it's in spirit because God is a spirit and all these things. And how does this relate to faithfulness? Well, when I come into worship, if I truly have the love for God that I say that I do, am I forgetting everything else that's outside and truly focused on Him during worship?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, am I going through the motions?
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I just doing it to make myself feel better, or do I understand that this is a way for the truth of God's word to be driven down deep within my heart so that it begins to change me? And mm-hmm. think about the aspects of worship. You know, we sing songs that are designed to offer praise to God and that talks about how wonderful He is. We sing songs that talk about, you know, his love, or what Jesus has done for us, or what the Holy Spirit has, like all of these things, like these are designed to remind us of the truths of God's word. And that's why when we sing, like the lyrics, they can't be things that aren't true,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, we are teaching one. Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16 makes it clear we're teaching one another when we're,
yeah.
but again that's the purpose. You know, it's to drive these things deep within us. When we pray, like when people hear us pray, or like in a worship service, for example, like do they just hear rote repetition, or do they hear somebody truly talking to God?
Man, that was my next point. Reading
yeah.
my mind. Like, about prayer specifically was, when I get up, am I saying the same prayer over and over and over again? Like, if I know, if I'm on the roster and it says Andrew McLaughlin for opening prayer, and they go, oh, great, we know the prayer that's coming, or is it a true heartfelt prayer that I'm actually praying to my God and my Father about things that are on my heart?
And it can be both. Like, it can be both. Like, I tell my kids and I tell my wife every day before I leave the house I love them. I probably tell them that multiple times throughout the
yeah.
day that I love them. It's never out of habit. I mean it every
mm-hmm.
time. So I can say the same things and mean it every, but that's the thing. Like,
is it the monotone thing? I guess,
well,
like, I've got
no,
them in prayer and this is how I'm going to open
just,
it up.
You can, you know, sometimes, and you can, and it's no different than preaching. You know, there are times where you can tell that he just got up there just
yeah.
to preach. Like, he really didn't have anything to say. And I say we, I'm talking about myself. Like, I've been guilty of doing that in the past. And
yeah.
it's the same thing with prayer. But, you know, I have certain men that people that I think back to who led the best prayers. And one of them specifically, and it was because when he knows that he's going to be leading the prayer for, like, the opening prayer or closing prayer, like, he prays about the prayer. Like,
yeah.
You know, he wants it to come, like, he wants it to, it comes, like, this is somebody that has put a lot of thought, like, he's really wanting to talk to
well,
God.
Well, it's preparation. Think
yeah.
about how much we prepare for things. You lay out your clothes for Sunday. You might lay out your clothes for work. You plan out supper ideas. It's preparation for worship. Do you plan to pray for your prayer? Do you plan how you're going to lead the Lord's Supper? You know, same thing with preaching. You know, and I say I'm not trying to be
no.
You know,
but all of that is growth. But it's like we talked about in the lesson. You know, this morning for our sermon, we talked about our future self. Like, what are we going to look like in the future as a Christian, as a disciple? And the fact is, it's asking ourselves those that, like, am I growing? Because the fact is, if I'm growing the way that God expects me to grow, then my worship changes. Like, I do pray with more sincerity. And that's really what I'm getting at, is the sincerity. You know, yeah. I pay attention to those. And so I'm not just going through the motions, but I mean it. When I sing, "All to Jesus I surrender," you know. And when the sermon, I'm not picking the sermon apart. And I'm talking to myself. I'm not picking the sermon apart and critiquing the sermon. I'm sitting there going, all right, how can this change me? Like, how can I put this into practice?
Well, you know, I mean? Yes, and being sincere, well, Romans chapter 12, verse 9, how does the writer open up? Let love be what? Be genuine.
Yeah.
You know, are you genuine in those things, or are you just going through the motions? And I think that's really the point we're trying to get across.
It is.
There. So, you know, we're coming up on 21 minutes. Great discussion on prayer.
Well,
there, but
just grow, man. It's what we all need to do. We all need to grow, and we all struggle with it, but that's how we stay faithful. That's how
Absolutely.
We, you know, and that's where change, and that's what God is after. He's after actual change.
Well, 2 Corinthians 13:5, you know, examine yourself.
Yeah.
You know, how am I doing? Am I growing? Iron sharpens iron. Talk to your brother and sisters. See what's going on. And we're hesitant to do that because we don't want them to look at us like, oh, you're a sinner. Or you're not growing. No, we need each other. It takes all of us to do it.
Yeah.
So do you have anything else that you want to add to?
No, it's growing. Just it's we change because we recognize, you know, Christ has made such an impact on us. And once I come face to face with God through His, you know, coming face to face with the truth of His word, I can't. It's like Saul, you know, it's like James. It changes me.
Mm-hmm.
It changes me from the inside out.
Yep. Well, you can't not look at the cross and get emotional.
No.
And anyway, just I know that's another podcast for another time. But if you have any questions or concerns, you know, text us, call us, reach out to us on Facebook. We'll be glad to answer your questions, biblically, of course. You know, and I'm so thankful for this podcast. I've grown so much because of it, and I know that you have too from your comments about it. So,
well, we love you. Let's have a quick prayer. Father, we just pray that you'll help us to be who we ought to be. Help us to be the changed person. Help us to have that, you know, to have the desire to take off this old man, to put on this new man, so that we can show the world how amazing you are, and you get all the glory. We love you. We ask all of this through your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Love you.
See ya.